Welcome to the 0-60 podcast by LeithCars.com. I'm your host and local gearhead, Mark Arson. In episode 70 of the series and fifth podcast of season 7, we're taking you to one of the biggest off-road events in the nation, the Jeep Jamboree. And it's coming up next on the 0-60 podcast.
LeithCars.com 0-60 with automotive journalist and radio host Mark Arson.
You're going to go over this hump.
Jeep Jamborees are factory-supported off-road adventures that Jeep and outdoor enthusiasts have been taking part in since 1953, when the first Jeep Jamboree traversed the Sierra Nevada mountains by way of the old Rubicon Trail. Now there are over 35 Jeep Jamborees each year, from California to Maine, including the event held in late September in North Carolina in the famed Uwari National Forest, located southwest of Asheboro.
Your rear tire's about to hit it. You're good.
Joining me now on the 0-60 podcast is a Jeep owner and fellow Leith employee, Dylan Leach. Welcome to the podcast, Dylan.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Before we talk about your experience with the Jeep Jamboree in Uwari, you got to tell us about your Jeep.
Yeah, it's a 21 Jeep Wrangler 4xe, so it is a plug-in hybrid electric, and it is Tuscadero Pink, which is a unique color. We've also added some custom touches as far as bringing the 4xe color into the color scheme of the vehicle. We've got 2 inches of lift on the vehicle, and instead of the stock 31s, we're on stock 33s.
Did you run across any other 4xe's at the Jamboree?
There was actually one other, and we talked a little bit about the differences of the vehicle and things along those lines. It's got a ton of torque. I even managed to get the tail end out going across the field. Even in four low, it has enough torque to get the tail a little squirrely.
Wow. Well, you know, in some of what you're going to be talking about in your description of this trip, and it was your first ever Jeep Jamboree, correct?
First ever Jamboree. We actually met some people that this was about their 40th Jamboree.
Oh, my gosh. Please, you know, relate how your 4xe performed on these trails. I've taken my Jeep on what I would consider some of the more moderate or easy trails, if there is such a thing.
Well, that was kind of our goal, was to get out there and try some things. In the spring, we went up to Uwari and tried a couple of very easy trails just to get an idea of how comfortable we were to be off-road. Because the Jamboree does open up some unique land that is not normally available to the public, that being the Grand Overland District and Big Creek area, we thought we would try some stuff that was unique to the Jamboree when we went out. We tried to stick to kind of moderate level trails, which are 4-5 trails. We found out Big Creek is a little bit higher than 4-5. It was kind of 6 that day. There's some big boulders and things along those lines that we had some fun on.
I think I took the Wolf's Den. Does that sound right?
Wolf's Den. Those were the easy trails that we actually tried in April, yeah.
Yeah, rated like a 3 to 5 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, and our goal was to go up and just have some fun, go ride on the trails.
Talking about specifically the Jeep Jamboree, and I guess this would be the case whether you're in North Carolina and you want to do the Uwari event or any of these Jamborees, what does a Jeep owner need to do to become involved in a Jamboree?
Well, the first thing is sign up, and the second thing is go on the Jamboree, Jeep Jamboree USA website, and look over the questions that they ask. You know, is most vehicles that you buy that are Jeep are trail-rated vehicles, which means that they have tow points and things along those lines, which is their minimum requirement in order to do those. There were some vehicles out there, for example, there was a great Grand Cherokee out riding the trails with us on a level 5 trail. He had larger tires and things along those lines, and he was able to participate in the event because it had tow points and things along those lines that you could use for recovery of the vehicle. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I took from it was not whether or not you'll get stuck. We got stuck. We got stuck a couple times. We managed to listen to the trail guides and get ourselves out twice. And one time we actually had to be winched. But it was not about whether or not you would get stuck, could get stuck, etc. It was about what happened when you did. we had someone who was probably the most experienced with our group. And he went up on an obstacle and managed to get hung on the middle of his vehicle. And the tires were just spinning freely. It was probably the most experienced and most overbuilt vehicle for the trail, and it still managed to get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
The question was, what happens when we do? They put tree guards onto the trees, set up the winch, and went through the process of actually recovering a vehicle. And just seeing that process is something really great, because we've only owned the Jeep for about a year, and mm-hmm. we never owned a Jeep before. It's something that we learned about and enjoyed.
So let's go back to, getting signed up, going to the website, JeepJamboreeUSA.com. Obviously, there's a cost to this, but what do you get with what you're paying to participate in this? You mentioned trail guides. When you get there to the event, what are you going to find?
So twofold. First off is yes, there's a little bit of a cost to it. It covers the cost of breakfast, lunch, and dinner. A couple of days. It covers the cost of using some of these lands and things along those lines. However, the guides, the trail guides, are volunteers. A lot of the people running this program are volunteers. My understanding is the only paid people within this event are the actual Jeep employees. And they're there because that they want to share this outdoor experience with fellow Jeepers and get out and show people the opportunity to share this great resource that we have, being the trails of URI North Carolina as well as around the United States.
How many days was this?
So we checked in on Thursday night, and it was through Saturday evening, so really 2.25 days.
All right. So you're taking your camping gear or a tent or something, right?
We actually did an Airbnb there in URI. We found a beautiful little place on Baden Lake, not too overly expensive, but somewhere to sleep. And we woke up to the sunrise over Baden Lake.
Once you just, so I understand this,
yeah.
You know, like the moderate trail that I did, I drove in, I did the trail and said, all right, that's enough. I got to the end of it and I turned around. I came back out on the access road, right?
That's exactly what we did in the spring.
But for this Jamboree, do you guys go like deep into, because your Jamboree's huge.
Yeah.
Do you go in there and stop? Or do you leave for the day? Like you said, you had an Airbnb. So, I mean, how does it work?
So on the first day, which is your check-in day, we were unsure of what the plan was going to be. And they opened from 3 to 6 in the afternoon to say, hey, come on over this evening, get checked in. That way everything is done and out of the way administratively.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to make sure that you are an insured driver. You have seat belts in your vehicle. You have all the safety things that you need. Jeep Jamboree USA has a great list of things. One is a GMRS radio and the ability to communicate with your group and things like that. We also brought a tow strap and a fire extinguisher, some different rescue items that we had because we go to the beach quite often with our Jeep. So that's kind of a check-in day. They actually did something called Jeep Games, which had blind man run, which means the driver was actually blindfolded, off-road, of course. And the co-driver had the opportunity to drive them through a closed and protected course.
Wow.
We did a little bit of running up and down a field with our Jeeps, did a balance beam event with our Jeeps, and they tried to make it fun and engaging to get out and off-road. However, the goal of the next 2 days was to get people out on the trails, and we were on the trails from the word go. We went over, we checked in, we got into our group, we had breakfast, we got our lunch with us, and we went out on the trail. Midday, we had the opportunity to stop at a great one day we stopped along a river that had slate tables, just giant boulders that we ate on the river. Then we did the whole afternoon, came back and had a dinner with them.
Mm.
After dinner, it's kind of your own time. You have the ability to go explore the town you're in if you've traveled somewhere. And then the next day, you kind of get up and go and do it all over again. And after dinner, they have a little awards show. People who have participated in the most jamborees, people with the oldest vehicle. There were a couple of mid-70s commanders that did the trails with us.
Mm. Now, is this one of the Jeep events or the URI trails that you guys were taking? Do they
qualify for one of the Jeep badges that you can put on your vehicle?
There were actually a lot of vehicles with a bunch of Jeep badges there. People have participated in maybe prior events or things like that, or gone and done it on their own. Mm-hmm. The Jeep app allows you to put in that you've done these badges. Dickie Bell is the badge trail at URI. And during the course of the Jeep Jamboree, you do have the ability to go do Dickie Bell, as well as a couple other challenging courses or trails there in URI. But there were, because they had the Grand Overland District and Big Creek available, it wasn't just, hey, go climb a rock garden.
Yeah.
It was about getting out and exploring everything from they called One Sherwood Forest, which was literally a giant forest with a bunch of rocks to crawl over and some hills to climb and things along those lines. In the Grand Overland District, it's where the military does a off-road training event. So there are a lot of hills and things like that that are designed to put you off kilter and, you know, where you're not really in risk of tipping over, but where you wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable if you were on road or at high speed. And the trail guides are just so absolutely awesome. That's one thing that I can't say enough about this event is those trail guides get out there and literally walk the trails most of the day with you. There's a lead vehicle, a chase vehicle, and typically a vehicle in the middle that they're showing you how to do these events. They're standing next to the obstacles, showing you where you should be and how you should pick your line and things along those lines. So as a new Jeep owner, I thought I knew some of these things, but the amount of knowledge they have is incredible. And you can't just sign up and say, I want to be a trail guide. We actually had a rookie trail guide with us who had been off-roading for years. He came along with the team who was guiding our trails so that next year he can actually be a full trail guide.
Oh, so it's definitely a process for the guides.
Kind of a journeyman program. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's impressive.
And one of the things you said about being off-road is, you know, do expect to give your vehicle a few scratches. Tree pinstripes are a thing on Jeeps. And we did get a little bit of scratches, but that's the reason you have rock rails and things along those lines is to protect the vehicle. Things like your underbody skid plates and things along those lines. Those are things that you absolutely want to look into prior to going to an event like this.
Oh, you guys did get a little, I don't know, not hung up maybe, but
so two events that we did get hung up on. We got hung up on a boulder. We came off of a wall a little bit too strong and got hung on a boulder, and our running boards will be replaced in the next month or so. That's on my wife's Christmas list now. And the other time we came up and crested a hill that was after a steep climb and realized that we didn't have quite enough clearance. So larger tires are also on the wish list for our next event. Jeep Jamboree does a couple of things to really help level the playing field, kind of, or make sure that it's not these real extreme, crazy vehicles.
Yeah.
The vehicles are limited to 40-inch tires. You can't have anything larger. I think their lift requirement is under 6 inches. You can't have a really purpose-built vehicle. You have to kind of go out with a true Jeep, with a Jeep that you would have gotten off the showroom floor or a Jeep that you would have, you know, inherited from your dad or whatever the case is. They want an authentic Jeep that they can show you the capabilities of this amazing vehicle instead of a purpose-built, you know, off-road go-kart or something along those lines. This is for Jeeps. This is designed around, hey, this is pretty much a stock vehicle, something you drive back and forth to work. It has to have a license plate. It has to have insurance. It has to be a vehicle that you would actually drive. And I would say out of the 100 or so vehicles, which I expected to see 1,000 vehicles. We actually went out to the Great Smoky Mountain Jeep Invasion, and there were thousands of Jeeps out there. I was surprised there was just over 100 Jeeps there. And of those 100 or so Jeeps, maybe 10%, someone drove from Ontario, Canada, or up from Florida.
To come here?
And trailered their Jeep, yes.
Oh my God.
Had people from Ontario, from Florida, but they trailered the Jeep because of it.
Yeah.
Whereas 90% of the Jeeps that were there, people drove them there and then drove them home.
Mm-hmm. It's good that you're making the point that, yes, I could get out there and my stock setup. But I also know from that limited experience that, wow, if I just had an extra couple of inches, which is not too much of a big deal. And I guess you got your setup done at one of our dealerships, right? So it's all done at the dealership. It's factory parts and you don't have to go crazy with it.
No, not at all. You don't need a crazy Jeep. And I apologize. I didn't really answer your question the first time you asked me. Is I did put a little bit of a lift on my vehicle, and I do have slightly larger tires. But the tires that I have are standard Rubicon tires. They're 33-inch tires, and they're all-terrain tires. It's not even a mud tire. Some things we did go around the larger rocks, larger obstacles in order to prevent could have been damage.
Yeah.
But you don't need a crazy lift or anything along those lines. And the capability of the vehicle just absolutely came through. I was amazed at how well it just crawled over and around some things, as long as, like you said, you're picking a good line.
Did you have any water fording experiences on this Jamboree?
To say that we were fording a river, we did not. This was a relatively dry weekend, as they had told us, which allowed us to do some additional hill climbs and things like that. However, that does not mean that we didn't manage to submerge the vehicle. There were some large puddles that would have swallowed a little Honda Civic in them, so to speak. But we were able to negotiate through them with the Jeep. One of them was the puddle that we managed to get stuck in, and the trail guides allowed us to work our way back out because one side of the puddle was much deeper than the other.
Do you have a winch on yours?
No, mine doesn't have a winch, but I keep a tow strap underneath the driver's seat every day of the week.
Yeah, me too. All right, so finally, Dylan, what advice would you have for a Jeep owner, like myself? That's looking to get signed up for the Jeep Jamboree at Urari, say, next year.
My wife joked around that we bought our friends for the weekend. You have the ability to go on Jeep Jamboree USA, or early December is, I believe, when they open up the Jamborees for the following year. And we had the ability to, for a weekend, have people who are experts show us around and give us an idea of what we might be comfortable doing. And if you're looking to take your Jeep out off-road, if you're looking to just get in the outdoors, I would absolutely get on the page, go find someone that can actually show you those courses. And that's what Jeep Jamboree does, is it gives you the ability to have someone who is experienced to take you out on those courses, to take you out and show you what your vehicle can actually do. So if I had any advice, it would be get on the page, pick a weekend that works for you, find yourself an Airbnb, and enjoy the meals that they cook for you, enjoy the hospitality that they provide for you, and enjoy a couple days on the trail.
All right. Dylan Leach with LeachCars.com, thank you so much for valuable information about the Jeep Jamboree.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed hanging out with you and recounting the events.
All right. Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Arson. Thank you for listening to the 0 to 60 podcast. It's a monthly series bringing you news from around the Leith Automotive Group and the world of motorsports in the Carolinas and Virginia. Be sure to follow us on social at Leith Cars and visit our website, LeithCars.com.
0 to 60 is a production of LeithCars.com. Like us on Facebook at Leith Cars.
The copyright in this podcast and its contents belongs to Leith Incorporated.